Thanks again, preacher. What a wonderful blessing. Isn't church just great?
Yeah.
I love it. I just love it. There was a time when I didn't love it when I was a kid. I just came to get out. You know, I couldn't wait to get home and play in the dirt. But now I can live here. And the music program, it's just amazing. I hope you never take that for granted. We were talking at lunch about how important a good music program is. If you knew how many churches out there didn't have that and how difficult, it's not working up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just gets involved and it just permeates. It makes it easier for the pastor to preach, guest preachers, of course. It does an amazing work. And the Holy Spirit does what's needed in hearts and lives. So that's a wonderful thing. And Brother Tyler, thank you. Buddy, Hallie, the choir, amazing, amazing. I just loved it every minute. I could sit over there and listen to it all night. But thank you for the opportunity to preach. Brother Tidd, thank you for inviting us. I've had the time of my life. I wish Miss Leah could have been here. And Brother Copes just works her wheels off. He's a slave driver. And she wanted to be here. Of course, she'll be able to come later on, and hopefully we'll get her here one day. But thank you for the hospitality. Everybody's friendly. Everybody says hi. And I'm not seeing any real anybody that has a frown on their face. I haven't seen. I mean, you may be out there, but I haven't seen you yet. You're hiding or something. I mean, you've treated me well, and shook my hand and all that. Thank you for that. Keep doing that, and God will bless you for it. I promise you. Closing out Faith Promise Missions. This is it. I hope you've kind of got some figures. I hope God's kind of dealing with you on what you're going to do. Maybe you already know how you're going to fill out your card and all of that. And tonight, I'm not going to. I want this more to be a challenge and an encouragement. Maybe it'll be a little bit different, I suppose. And that's okay. And while I'm speaking, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 1. I want to do this in a different way, and I hope, if you could give me just a little bit of latitude this evening, we may come in the back door with Faith Promise, but that'll be okay. Short message. This morning was short. I got really messed up. Brother, I was talking to Brother Buddy before the services, and he said, usually you've got about 40 minutes or so, and I thought, oh, that's good. I could do that. And you probably noticed I was preaching wrong. And when I looked up, I saw 10:40 and I panicked. And I thought, oh, 40. And so I just shut everything down. Well, and the pastor already told me, 10 till. So you guys got a big break. You welcome. Yeah. I didn't do that on purpose. I just got mixed up on my time. So it wasn't supposed to be that short. But I still had a good time. And thank you. It's good to be in a church this size and still have liberty. There's liberty. Boy, I'm telling you, where the Spirit is, there's liberty. And thank the Lord for that. I know your pastor appreciates it. Mark chapter 1, give me a minute. Let me put my eyeballs on. I forgot to get those out. Mark chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, please, in respect to the Word of God as we read, we're going to go to about verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Familiar scriptures here. It's the healing of the leper. Mark chapter 1 verse 40. The Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Now, Father, if you will, for just a little while, if you'll speak to our hearts, if you'll hide us behind the cross, we'll certainly thank you and praise you for it. We ask you to bind the hand of the devil tonight. We just want to worship you in free course. And once again, thank you for all that you do. Speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, stir them in this area of faith promise. And I pray that it'll just be a banner year in that respect. And many missionaries will go on to be supported, more being taken on. And Lord, we'll just trust that in your hands. But again, bless us this evening, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me preach for just a minute on do you want to? Do you want to? The things we do in life, we either want to, or we don't want to, or we have to. Now, sometimes the don't want to and the have to kind of go hand in hand. I worked a job one time. I had to work that job, but I didn't like it. I didn't want to. Had to, but didn't want to. What's nice is when the have to goes with the want to, all right? Being a pastor. I've got a responsibility. Your pastor has a responsibility. You've got to have messages prepared for the people. And you have to pray and seek God's face. And you want to be in His will in that respect, of course. And so you depend on Him for that. And sometimes it can be trying. There have been times I've gotten up Sunday morning wondering, Lord, I need something, you know, and knew that I had to get something for the people. And He's always come through every single time. And you say, well, that's a little trying, that's a little tough, but I want to. I still want to. I like it. I like what the Lord does through the pastorate and through the ministry. I like that. So my want to matches up with my have to, and so it's a good thing. It's good all the way around. Sometimes someone does something for me, and you know, I'm not necessarily out of obligation or anything like that. I'm talking about kindness, things like that. Treats me very nice, and it makes me want to do things nice for them. And it's a want to thing. It's not obligation. I just want to. And you know what I'm talking about. That's familiar. I mean, from time to time, there's just things in our lives we want to do. Right? I'm talking about that want to. My grandkids, when my grandkids come around, my kids, I want to do things for them. And I sincerely want to please them and make them happy. It's just, I want to. Years ago, when Miss Lee and I first got married, I was in church, but not really into church. I had no desire for a ministry career or anything like that. I just wanted to be a good Christian servant. And our churches need those, by the way. Not everybody has to be in ministry. It's a wonderful thing, let me tell you right now. But still yet, churches need good Christian people to be a service to the pastor and help in different areas. There's different things around the church that need done, and people that will be faithful to the Lord in doing those things. Churches need that. Churches need that. And that's all I wanted to do, but I wanted to do it to the very best of my ability. Had no idea about ministry or anything like that. And so at the time, I decided, well, I'll get in the medical field, and went to school and trained to be a surgical nurse. And did that for almost 20 years. And I can remember going through that and being in the operating room. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it. It wasn't something that I had to do but didn't really want to do. I wanted to do it, had to do it, of course, to provide a living for my family. But still, I was able to do it. And because I wanted to, there were certain things that I did and volunteered for. And interesting, when you do that on your job, those that hired you, your employers, take notice of that. And lo and behold, I start moving up the ladder. I start getting raises and things like that. I worked in the VA Medical Center in downtown Little Rock for years. And they built a great big J.L. McClellan VA Medical Center in Little Rock. And after 5 years, they got me to go over there and set up a sterilization department. And not because they just couldn't find anybody to do it. It's because they knew I wanted to do things like that. There were people that had been there longer than I did, I had, and had not gotten raises and things like that. But it all boils down to the fact that I wanted to, and they knew that I wanted to. And it makes a difference. People see that difference, that want to. And can I tell you, in a Christian's life, when you want to, God sees that. God sees when you want to serve Him, when you want to tithe. I'm not talking about when you want to and you don't. I'm talking about you want to and you're doing your very best and you try to, you do, you want to. Okay, those are important things. God takes notice of those things. And so when I first heard of Faith Promise Missions about, I think I mentioned it this morning, somewhere around the time of 1986 up till about 93. I believe it was Dr. J.C. House that I first heard preach on Faith Promise Missions. And again, like I said this morning, I was a little apprehensive about it. And, you know, but the more I learned about it, the more I realized how important it was. And the more I wanted to be involved in it, even though it scared me a little bit, even though it, you know, I, again, apprehensive about turning some money loose. I mean, there was some apprehension there, but I still wanted to. I still wanted to do it. God knew my heart, and you know what he did? He gave me the faith. He gave me the ability to do that, stepping out on faith and doing that. I highly recommend stepping out on faith. When I understood the scope and the premise of what Faith Promise Missions was, I wanted to. I wanted to get involved in that thing. And for all these years we've been doing it, I've never regretted one single minute of giving to that cause. Anything in God's work, I don't regret anything. Now, I have some regrets. Don't misunderstand what I say. If I could go back and do it all over again, there are certain areas where I would do something different, of course. But as far as God's service and committing, whether it's been tithing, giving, no matter what it's been, no regrets whatsoever. And Faith Promise Missions is no exception. I love it. Absolutely love it. And I'm so thankful there are other churches that are involved in that. And again, I hope you've really been praying about this, that you've been it's just been a prayer, a constant prayer this month, and that you've been seeking the Lord's guidance on it. I hope you've been doing that. But I must confess to you this evening that when I see or I hear of anything in this life that I can do that will be a help to the cause of Christ, I'm in. I'm in. I want to do it. And there's some challenges. There's challenges in God's work and ministry and in different areas. There's challenges there, but they're fun challenges. I like a good challenge for one thing, but when it comes to God's work and serving the Lord, I want to get involved in that. Sure hope you do too. As you know, when I first got saved, I'm thinking back now. Don't go away on me here. But I'll be back to our text here in just a moment. When I first got saved, I don't know if I gave testimony this morning or not, but I was 20 years old, 1980. I lived on an old farm in Cabot, Arkansas. I was born and raised in Arkansas. You know, when I told you this morning I was the country boy come to town, you didn't know how country. I mean, I'm just backwoods country, I promise you. I could turn loose with a slur of redneck that would just blow your mind. But I'm a little more sophisticated now, so bless the Lord. But I was saved, 1980, and God had really worked on my heart. He had convicted me. I had heard some good preaching, and the Holy Spirit was just eating me alive. And I was trying to make deals with God. I was trying to say, okay, Lord, you know, I'll do this thing if I can still do this. If you'll still let me do this, I'll do it. He didn't want to deal with me. He didn't want to do that. I don't understand it. He wouldn't do it. And I tried another thing, and I remember going to bed one night there, and I lived on this farm by myself. My grandfather had just, it was an old house that he owned out on, it was just an old farmhouse, and he let me stay there. Didn't charge me anything, and as long as I took care of his cows and things like that. And I remember going to bed that night and still making deals with God. Lord, if you'll do this, I'm in. And he just didn't want to do that. And so I went to bed that night tossing and turning and, you know, couldn't get any sleep. And all through the night doing that, getting up the next morning and saying, okay, that's enough. And I just gave it all to him. And when I got saved, I really got it. I got in. I mean, I got in. And, I wasn't looking for a feeling or anything like that, but such a feeling of no pressure, a lightness. It was just an amazing thing to me, and I knew God had done something in my heart. I knew that a change had been made, and when it happened, I had to just start calling people, calling family and friends and things like that. I had to let them know Well, I got on the phone. I was telling everybody, mom, dad, and all my relatives. And we just took off like a rocket. Now, I made some dumb decisions and you know, trying to move a little too fast. I mean, I like to go with it. I mean, when it's there, I want to go. But the Lord took care of me, and he blessed me, and he helped me, and he gave me a good family, raised two sons, and God's blessed us in that. Got grandkids coming out of my ears. I got grandkids coming out of my ears from just one son. I told Brother Tidnell this afternoon, it's like going to a zoo. It's like a petting zoo, but going to a zoo nonetheless. And they're bouncing off the walls. It's amazing. And after a while, you just kind of have to walk outside and say, ooh, and, you know, kind of settle down for a minute. But I love them, and it's wonderful, and we enjoy it. But God's blessed us in that. Now most of my grandkids are saved. And you know, he honors. What he'll do is he'll honor our faithfulness. He'll honor your faithfulness. You know, some people worry about, am I going to see my kids saved? Am I going to see my grandkids saved? You keep doing what God wants you to do, and he'll honor that. He'll bless you. You won't have to worry about it. He'll take care of all that for you. So I got saved and started learning how to serve the Lord. It wasn't long. I said it this morning, learned about this Faith Promise Missions, and I just fell in love with it. And I like what it does. I like the people that are helped, the missionaries that work so hard. And somebody said, I don't know who it was, somebody said, it may have been Brother Delbert, said that everybody needs to take a missionary trip. Boy, you do. If you can ever do that, you need to do it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Turn over there for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let me show you this verse of scripture. I got to find it too. Hebrews chapter 12. Excuse me, verse 2. Here's the focal point of the whole New Testament right here, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, chapter 12, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Do you know he did all that because he wanted to? You know, when it came time for the one to come to this earth to suffer, bleed, die, when it came time, there was never any search through heaven. Okay, the song's got it wrong. There was never a search made. That never happened. And nobody ever drew straws or anything like that. I'm just telling you right now, Jesus stepped forward and said, I want to. I want to. Never any question about that. He wanted to for you and me. And I understood that one day. When I got saved, all of this came to me, and I began to consider it and think about how all the wonderful things that were taking place in my life was because of what he did so many years ago. And he did all of that. If it had just been me, he would have done it for me because he wanted to. And let me show you in our text verse over in Mark chapter 1. Let me show you how it proves itself right here. Notice how Mark brings this about. You'll find it in Matthew also, but I like how Mark depicts this. And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, this is an unusual thing that's taking place here. Now, Jesus has, if you read over in Matthew, you'll find out this starts in Matthew chapter 8. And this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, after the preaching of the Beatitudes. He has taken, it's interesting, at the beginning of chapter 5, it talks about how the multitudes have come around. And it says, here come the multitudes, and Jesus goes up in a mountain. It almost looks like he's saying, yeah, he's running, but it's kind of interesting there. But what he's doing is he's taking his disciples aside, and he's going to teach them some things. He's going to show them how important it is to be a Beatitude Christian, for one thing, and then a light of the world and salt of the earth and so on. He's going to teach his disciples that, because one day he's going to leave and somebody's got to fill in. And of course, we know Peter kind of steps in, becomes the leader. We know about all of that. But at this point, he needs to teach them how to do it. And so he takes them aside, takes them up into the mountain. And for the next few chapters, you read of the things that he teaches them and shows them. And so now he's coming down off the mountain, and immediately as he comes down, great multitudes, the Bible says, have just flocked him around. Again, you read this in Matthew. Here come the multitudes once again. He was always engulfed by multitudes of people. And listen to me, I'm talking about thousands of people. I'm not talking about a crowd like this. I'm talking about thousands of people all the time. I mean, there were times when he could get away, but they were few and far between. And his disciples were so often running interference for him. I mean, they would have to protect him more or less, because people were just trying to touch the hem of his garment, get in his shadow, just have him speak to them for a moment. And he would heal thousands of people. That was his life. That's what he did. And he did it because he wanted to. He loved it. That's what he came for. And so here he comes down out of this mountain. And you can get the picture. There's people around. And notice this leper comes running out of nowhere, more or less. Doesn't say where, but he just comes in. And look at the urgency here. It says, there came a leper unto him, and beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt. Mark makes it apparent that there is an urgency with this man. And you can imagine, he's got leprosy. He's got leprosy and he wants to be healed. And he knows, he's heard that this man, this Jesus Christ, can do just that. And so he's going to get to him one way or another. And do you notice, you don't hear him screaming, unclean, unclean, unclean. At least it doesn't show it here in the scriptures. By law, he was supposed to, as a leper. And the crowds were supposed to part and so on. I mean, by law, he would cry out unclean. He's not doing that. He's just, it's everything he can do. I almost get the picture like he's sliding in like one of those guys on the soccer field. You know, he's wanting to get to Jesus. But he comes and he kneels before him and he says, if thou wilt. Now, I'm convinced that this, what he's saying, and I, you look in, if you want to look up translation, it's like he knows, I know you can. He's heard about Jesus. I know you can. If you will, you can do this. All right, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but if you will, you can do this. I love to do word studies. I challenge you to do word studies. You want to see this book come to life. You study a few words out. Take your Webster's 1828, take your Strong's Concordance and start looking some words up. Do some word studies. You'll be amazed at what happens. But I looked at this word wilt. I kind of had an idea of what it meant before I ever even looked it up. And lo and behold, it was there. And when I saw it, I just almost threw a runaway. It was awesome. It said, if you wilt. In other words, when Jesus saw him, the Bible tells us in the next verses he had compassion on him. And he didn't ask him any questions like, where'd you come from? How come you're not letting everybody know you're a leper? There's none of that. The leper is saying that word wilt. He's saying, if you want to. When I saw that, it just blessed my heart. And as you read on, you notice Jesus' response. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. So in the same moment, the leper says, if you want to. And Jesus says, I want to. Now, that may not seem like much to you. Because if he would have just said, if it would have simply been, if you will, Jesus, you can do this. And he said, well, I will. And did it. The leper would have been happy. The leper's family would have been happy. Everybody that saw it would have been pleased and happy. Jesus would have been happy. Everything would have been wonderful. Been great. He's healed. But he did more than that. He didn't just say, I will, because he could. He said, I want to. When I got saved, when he saved me, I mean, he had the power to do it. And I knew when I asked him that he would save me, my thinking is, Lord, if you will, because he could, but he did more than that. He wanted to. Everything he does for us in this life, he wants to. It's not just because he can. And he can do anything. God can do anything. He does it because he wants to. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, this is good. Because he could is good. And if he'd have just done it, whether he wanted to or not, if he'd have just done it because he could, that's great. More than that, he wanted to. He said, I want to. I will. But even more than that, even better than that, look what else takes place. It says that Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. So it's like this. I think this is a good way to describe it. I've got grandkids. Some of my grandkids look like Buddy's kids. And they're as fun to be around as Buddy's kids too. But I've got grandkids, and they'll come up to me and say, Papa, I love you. And when they say that, it's like they can get anything. Anything. You want a car? I'll get it. They can get anything from Papa when they do that. And that's special. I could listen to it all day. Grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. But when they come up, and they put that big hug on me and say in my ear, Papa, I love you. Oh, they just supersized it. It's like 10 times better. I mean, just hearing it is wonderful. But them big bear hugs and that touch, just that touch, is an amazing, amazing thing. I felt that when I got saved. Kneeling there at the end of that bed, I leaned over a cedar chest, and I felt that touch. And it was like, Lord, will you save me? I'll save you. I want to. And I felt that touch. That's an awesome thing. So you see the difference. You see how this was just compounded into the most wonderful of things. This leper didn't just get healed. He found out that there was a God out there that wouldn't just heal him, but that wanted to. And who knows what the rest of his life was like. We know it had to have been pretty good because he left there. Jesus said, now, don't tell anybody. You know why he did that? I used to wonder, why did Jesus tell people not to tell anybody? Well, because he wanted to get from one place to another. And when the word got out, all of a sudden, phew, here they came. Matter of fact, it says it in verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that, look at this, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. And so if he wanted to go into the city, that's out. He can't do it now because, you know. Now, it didn't make him mad. Okay, Jesus didn't get mad at the leper because he went and published it. He probably said, here we go again. And it didn't. It's not that it bothered him. He just wanted to be able to move about a little more freely. And so I'm sure he just went to plan B. But the thing was, this leper got the most wonderful thing. It wasn't just healing. He found out there was a God that wanted to. So I say all of that to say this. Every good thing in my life, God's wanted to do. Everything he's done for me, he wanted to do it. And so when I see opportunities like Faith Promise Missions, I want to. Because he wanted to. It's the least I can do. And I'm not doing it out of obligation. It's just that want to of his means so much to me. He didn't have to. He doesn't have to want to. He just loves me that much. He just loves you that much. Man, what else can I do, Lord? But Faith Promise Missions, Such an important thing. You do know that's the heart of God. Reaching people, missions, that's God's heart. You find a church that endeavors to reach people and, I mean, has visiting efforts, soul-winning efforts, missionary support, you're going to see a church that thrives. God will bless that immensely. Faith Promise Missions is worth the effort. Please remember tonight, when you look at this, you see in verse 40, the urgency, verse 41, the unmerited favor, and then the last part of verse 41, the undying love, and all because he wanted to. Let's pray. Father, we love you. So thankful for all you do. So thankful for the blessings that you give us, for your goodness, your mercy. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. Thank you for showing us how much you want to, but not just that, how much you love us, but also how much you wanted to. And Lord, we don't want to take that for granted. We love you. And Lord, if we can do more, we want to do that. Bless tonight. Bless in the Lighthouse Baptist Church mission endeavors and their Faith Promise mission giving. Challenge each and every heart, Lord, to do the very best that they can because we want to. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.